Now, in reading from the Word of God tonight, there is one verse, in fact, only part of a verse that I would like you to read with me. 1 John chapter 1, and we'll read verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and now it is for these remaining words that we are reading. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So that you will understand what is in my mind in reading a verse like this, let me be very clear with it. If you or I were involved in getting a life raft to a dying man or a man lost at sea, we would not spend a good deal of time telling him how important it is that he grasp this life raft or this lifesaver immediately. We would not spend a great deal of time in trying to persuade him that if he does not get this, he will drown. I hope there are some with us in the meeting tonight that realize if I do not receive the message of the gospel as these men are preaching it, God's message from the Bible, there is no hope for me for eternity. I do trust that the finality of a last meeting impresses some with us tonight. This is my moment. This is the opportunity. I must get to Christ. If I had the opportunity of trying to get a lifesaver to you in your distress, I would like to spend all the moments I had, fleeting moments at the best, to make sure that I made as available to you as I could the safety of a life preserver. And I want tonight, as I preach the gospel at the opening part of the meeting, with the help of God, to make salvation as available to you as possible, to tell you as clearly as I can, if I never have the opportunity of telling you again how you can be saved and sure of being right with God, how you can be absolutely certain that the most important question of life is settled, the most important issue is resting alone upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I listened to a woman who runs a talk show, or ran a talk show in Philadelphia. She was a Jewish lady. She would on occasion have people come in that would speak about religious issues, particularly Judaism, and then she had some Jews for Jesus, some who had been Jews and were converted to Christianity. And she was not altogether pleased with their thrust, but she tolerated them and then had someone else come in to straighten out all the errors that they had presented. And she really pointed out one of their major flaws was this, that they were upsetting homes and they were actually speaking against other people that had a settled faith and a culture of years. And she said, after all now, isn't what religion is all about that we get along well with one another and we treat one another well? Did you ever have a time when you'd like to just get into the radio and say something? And just respond? I was in the car. I just wished I could have gotten through that radio and somehow on the air to express this. Now, while what she was saying may be the case with religion, what we are preaching is not how to get along well with other people. Well, the result of it will transform your life and make you a different person to get along with. And what we are preaching is not primarily how you can feel good about yourself. Although I do want to tell you that if you knew the salvation we are preaching, you would have a peace you have never known and can never know otherwise. But our first objective is not to present something that's nice for you or it's helpful for others. That's all horizontal. Our message deals with the vertical. The first and most important matter is this. Your relationship with God. And if you could take a course and learn how to get along with others, and if you could take psychological counseling and feel good about yourself, there is one great truth. There is one dimension that you must consider that nothing else will meet. That woman's view of what the Bible or faith was about was too flat, just two dimensions. There is the most important dimension. It is your relationship with God. And consistently through the Word of God, let me point out to you that what we have in the text before us is this. There is only one means of a proper relationship with God. There is only one basis upon which a man or woman can be right with God, and that basis is the precious blood of Christ. And so this text that we have before us tonight in my way of looking at it, seems to be the last in a long line of text. Its truth is consistent with the whole Word of God, and it gives to us truth upon which the whole of the Word of God is based. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. While there are so many texts in the Bible, yet there is, as far as God is concerned, one consistent provision that comes from God. God did not have one provision in the Old Testament, and He said, now really that's working pretty well, but I think we can improve it some. God from the beginning has had one long provision for man, consistent from the beginning of time, right through to the present moment, and ages that will yet come will know only one provision from God, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Go back for a moment with me to the need of Abel. He's just the first family born into the world, just fresh from the Garden of Eden where his parents had been banished. Away back in such primeval times, there is one thing that had impressed Abel. Tragically, it did not impress his brother. His brother thought that he could just come to God in the old way. After all, God and I are good friends. I mean, my parents were walking with God in the Garden of Eden, and really there should be no problem with me if I just bring a good gift to my good friend. I'll bring him the very best that I have, and I'll say to him, in essence, you and I are friends, and here's a little gift from me. I really think highly of you. And what Cain did away back in those days, men and women in 1991 are still doing. They are forgetting that they really have no acceptance before God. My friend, I would like to impress upon you that what took place with Abel's family, with Cain's family, is of great importance. Sin has come into the world, and as a result of sin, man does not have a right in the presence of God. And there are men and women that have no regard for the blood of Christ, and they have no regard for the fact of their sin. They can sin willfully. And then they turn around and they begin to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And they have no business in the presence of God. Your sin bars you from acceptance with God. And Abel has grasped that truth. And Abel longs to be accepted with God, and he brings an offering. The firstling of his flock is brought and placed upon the altar. And to Abel and to his offering, the Lord God had respect. But to Cain and to his offering, the Lord God had not respect, didn't accept it. And the message from God to Cain was this. If thou doest well, in other words, if you do the right thing as Abel has done, if you bring a blood sacrifice, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. There is only one way to be accepted in the presence of God. The very best that Cain could bring would not make him accepted before God. The very best that you can bring will not give you acceptance before God. To bow your head in the most sanctimonious of styles and to say the nicest of prayer, all polished up in good language, and to go to church on a Sunday morning and to be baptized and a thousand other good things presented to God will not give you acceptance in the presence of God. And to carry all that into eternity will not gain you acceptance into God's fair heaven. Acceptance with God is alone on the basis of precious blood. That's the lesson from Abel. One consistent provision that man in his guilt might be accepted before a holy God. Move with me through Israel's history. You come from the book of Genesis from which I have quoted. Come with me to the book of Exodus. There is pronounced by God in Exodus chapter 12 a judgment. Man's sin demands a storm of judgment from God. Your sin is no neutral matter. Your sin is not somehow outweighed by something that is good. Your sin, my sin, demands judgment from God. And that is the position in Egypt. God says there is judgment coming. Now, does it surprise you if I tell you, I think you'll probably know this anyway, that there was only one way to be protected against the judgment. God says, the blood shall be to you for a token. And when I see the blood, I myself will protect you from the storm that is coming. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And in Egypt's day, as Israel was about to be redeemed by the Lamb, there is only one possible way of salvation. One possible protection from wrath that is coming. Let it be clear in the mind of every soul in our gospel meeting tonight that as far as the message in 1991, it is still the same. There is judgment to come. Far more fearful than we could ever describe to you tonight is the wrath of God that awaits a wicked world. Far more fearful than we could describe to you tonight is the judgment of your own sin and the eternal fires of the wrath of God. Let me tell you tonight that there is one and one alone protection from the wrath of God. Between my soul and the judgment my sins deserve is the precious blood of Christ. Let me tell you tonight that is God's only provision for protection from coming judgment. If you would like tonight to be absolutely sure that you will never come into the judgment, then behold God's remedy. Here is one God's one alone provision. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. If I were to take you to the days of Moses and to speak to you further about the provision that came through Moses, God said to listen, when a man sins, here's the only provision that will avail for him. If a man sins, now he'll know he has sinned because he's violated God's law. If a man sins, there is one provision to put away that sin. You see, when it comes to acceptance before God, though I be guilty, the blood is the only provision. When it comes to protection from judgment because of my sins, the blood is the only provision. And when it comes to forgiveness, a debt to be paid, because every single sin is a debt against the Holy God who gives you breath and life and health and strength. And every sin is an indebtedness to God. God says if there's one sin, bring a lamb. Bring a lamb, it won't do you to be baptized. It won't do you to pray. It won't do you to feel better. It won't do you to do penance about the sin. It won't do you to confess that sin to some man. If there is one sin, God says, here is the consistent provision. Bring a lamb. But it cannot be a living lamb that will meet the need of a sinner. It cannot be a living lamb that will provide forgiveness. God has one consistent provision. God says, take the lamb and slay the lamb. Make sure you have identified yourself with that lamb before it dies. Slay the lamb. The priest will take care of it. All important to God is the blood of that lamb. I have given it to you upon the altar, says God, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And that lamb's life being given, that lamb's blood being shed, is alone the provision that God makes for the forgiveness of sin. Let us quote to you again tonight words that we love to quote. I told you one night about a boy that was impaired at birth by brain damage. I'm not sure how you're supposed to express that these days, but he was limited. Dear boy. And he came to meetings we were having, and I had the opportunity of being with him after the meetings, night after night. He'd come and stop at the place where we were. He always was interested in food, so he'd have a bite to eat. And then I'd take him down the road home. And all the neighbors saw two simple boys walking down the road, singing one hymn. Every night, same hymn. Every night, just the one verse, over and over, till they got down the block and a half to home. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful to tell you that that boy learned one thing. You don't have to learn a lot of things to get God's salvation. That boy learned one thing. The value of the death of Christ at Calvary was all that was required to answer to God for his sins. And through the truth of the Word of God, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. He understood that the Lord Jesus died for him. And through the blood of Christ, His sins were all forgiven. Whenever I went to that part of the country for a Sunday school or something like that, every time, he'd look over at me and give a big smile. And he'd say, we'll sing 120, I think it's 129 in the children's hymn book. 129! And then when it was all over, he'd say, that's my hymn. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want to insist tonight with the Word of God before us and its truth crystal clear that nothing less than the blood of Christ is sufficient to pay the debt of one sin. And I can tell you tonight with the same book before me, nothing more than the blood of Christ is required to put away every sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's enough in the blood of Christ. With nothing more, there's enough in the blood of Christ for forgiveness. And if I may take you one step further through the Word of God to the book of Leviticus, let me take you to another scene where a man is defiled in his sin. It's a picture of sin. The man has a disease. It's leprosy. Just as sin itself is defiling, even could you clean up all your acts of sin, sin itself is defiling upon the very person. And a man that had leprosy had one word to describe him. Unclean. No matter how you try to remedy every wrong you have done, the Word of God still says we are all as unclean, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And for that man, God not only declares how that man is to be pronounced unclean, but God says there is one way and one alone by which that man can be pronounced clean. And you won't be surprised tonight if involved in that man's cleansing was one great truth. Blood alone for his cleansing. That's the truth that is before us in the text tonight. In every aspect of man's need, no matter how God views man's spiritual need before him, the need to be acceptable in the presence of God, the need to be delivered from sins, the need to be protected and made safe, the need to be cleansed from the defilement of sin, or the need for sin to be forgiven, the debt against God to be paid, no matter what way God presents the need, God has one consistent provision. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Years ago in the city of Chicago, a number of religious faiths were gathered together for a great convention. Almost all the faiths of that day were represented at the conference. Many eloquent speeches were given and persuasive presentations. On a day, a man by the name of Dr. Joseph Smith stood up. He was from Boston. And he said, I want to ask a question of the gathering today. I have a woman before me whose hands are stained with blood. It is the blood of murder. She has done everything she can to remove the stain of sin from her hands. She is distraught and longs to be right with God. In any of your religions, do you have a provision for this woman? Is there any way that you can remove the stain of this woman's sin? Silence fell over the gathering, because while religion has a way to tell men to live, religion has no guarantee of forgiveness of sin. And he said then once again, I have another question. I want to ask the question of heaven. Does God have a way to forgive this woman of her sin and to cleanse the stain of murder from her hands? And he listened for a while as if waiting for heaven to answer. And he said, I hear the answer from heaven, and here is God's answer. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There is God's one remedy for sin. No matter how deep the stain, no matter how many the sins, the blood of Christ alone can avail to cleanse, and the blood of Christ is sufficient to meet the sinner's need. I want to speak to you for a moment or two about one central person that's involved in this text. He is the one about whom all Scripture is spoken. He is the center of every presentation of the gospel. And when we are declaring tonight that there is salvation alone to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Antonio Palerio was not a name you'd likely know. He was a man that lived in the Dark Ages. He had written a book entitled The Benefits of the Sacrifice of Christ. For what he presented in that book, and it is just the very same truth we are presenting tonight, we have no new truth to present. This is no new religion. This is the faith of our fathers that we are presenting tonight. And for what he wrote in that book, he was brought to be tried as a heretic. And the authority said, we will ask this man three questions. And depending upon his answer to these three questions, we will determine what shall be done with him. Question number one. What is the first means of salvation? Without hesitation, the hero of the faith said, Christ alone. Second question, what is the second means of salvation? No hesitation, Christ alone. Third question, what is the third means of salvation? Christ alone. We preach that tonight so freely, there's nobody here who's going to contradict us even.
Thank you.
There's no authority that's going to have us arrested or tried. For his simple declaration, salvation is in Christ alone, they said he is a heretic. Take him away and harm him. Let us tell you tonight that that truth for which he died is the truth that we are still proclaiming in 1991. Christ is the center of salvation. If you have Christ when you leave the tent tonight, you'll leave with sins forgiven. If you have 10,000 other things but leave without Christ, you have nothing in your relationship with God. No hope of heaven. Nothing but the blackness of eternal fire because of sins. I notice in the passage there are three names or titles given to us about the Lord Jesus. He is designated, first of all, the blood of Jesus, Christ his Son. The central value of the blood of Christ is all around the person who he is. He is a Savior. And when I remember the great truth that he is Jesus, I hear these words, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We are reminded of the great truth of his humanity. This one who was God eternally became man, and among men he lived as a holy man, incapable of sinning, apart from sin altogether. He was in this world to be the Savior. And the truth is simply this. If God's requirement consistently throughout the Bible is bloodshed for the remission of sin, if the statement of Scripture is, without shedding of blood is no remission, then this one who has come to be the Savior must be ready to shed his own precious blood. He must be a man. He must be a man of value whom God will accept. He must be a man of holy character, sinless, undefiled. Jesus, I learn of his humanity. The Christ, and I learn of his responsibility. God has sent him into the world and entrusted the whole matter of salvation to one lone hand. In love, God has sent him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In love, the Lord Jesus came with one mission before him, and his footsteps never faltered. He was going to Calvary in love for precious souls. And if we could convey to you tonight, to every single individual in the tent this evening, from heaven he came. He loved you. He died. Such love as his never was known. Behold on the cross, the Lord crucified to make you an heir to his throne. Oh, let us draw you tonight to the man that came from heaven, the man who in love went to Calvary's cross, bearing sin, suffering and dying, bearing the wrath of God against sin, paying to God the penalty of sin. Behold, at Calvary tonight, there is a Savior who has undertaken the great work of salvation. He has given himself to accomplish what God required. The blood of Jesus Christ, but let me tell you, it would all be incomplete without this to be added, his Son. We sing sometimes, there's something about this that thrills me. No angel could our place have taken. Highest of the high, though he, the loved one on the cross forsaken, was one of the Godhead three. God himself must undertake to remove the great stain of sin. God himself must provide a lamb, a sacrifice for sin. God himself, incarnate, must be the sacrifice. Such is the great demand of the holiness of God that nothing less than an infinitely holy sacrifice is enough to meet the claims of God. My friend, tonight, let it be abundantly clear that nothing less than the infinite value of the person of God's beloved Son is sufficient to meet the need of one red chin. And nothing more, let me say my message once again, nothing more than the value of that infinitely precious blood is required. God is satisfied with an infinite sacrifice. The one who suffered at Calvary must not only be man, he must be himself essentially deity, that the value of his sacrifice is infinite, sufficient to satisfy an infinitely holy God. Oh, tonight, my friend, behold the value of this Savior. Sins are not forgiven based upon your merits, neither how you feel, nor what you think, nor what you pray, neither all your emotion, neither the degree of your concern. None of that is involved in God's salvation. Let me just close by pointing out to you one crucial promise from God himself. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Read concerning these people. Keep reading in 1 John till you come to chapter 2. And this is what John says. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. I wonder if there are some souls in the meeting tonight you would just love to have that message from God. I write unto you because your sins are forgiven you. I can tell you tonight it's only by the precious blood. But listen to what he adds, because I haven't quoted the verse correctly yet. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. The cause of this cleansing has nothing to do with the man himself who is cleansed. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. What Christ means to God is the only merit by which my sin is cleansed. What Christ means to God is all that you need tonight. God is not asking you to present yourself. God is not asking you to improve yourself. The cause for which God cleanses a sinner from every sin is what he thinks of Christ. I write unto you because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And what is the confidence upon which this message is based? Keep reading till you come to chapter 5. And listen to his word. I write unto you, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Have eternal life? Have sins forgiven? Absolutely sure that sin is forgiven? Absolutely sure that I have eternal life? How can it possibly be? Would you like to be sure tonight? You couldn't trust your feelings, or you couldn't trust the word of another man. These things have I written unto you, that ye may know. Tonight, dear friend, we are presenting the assurance of sins forgiven, based upon the value of the blood of Christ, presented to you because of what God thinks of Christ, and assured to you by the unerring word of God itself. Oh, that tonight you might take God's message and receive God's crucial promise, that blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is enough, God says so, and cleanseth me from all sin.